Blog Talk Radio.
Because you never know what life is going to take you, and you can't change where you've been. But today, I have the opportunity to choose. Here I am now, looking at 30, and I got so much to say. Gotta get this off of my chest, I gotta let it go today. I was always too concerned about what everybody would think. But I can't live for everybody, I gotta live my life for me, yeah. I preach the fork in the road of my life, and ain't nothing gonna happen unless I decide to be the best that I can be. Painful things I thought that I would never make it through. Filled up with shame from the top of my head to the soles of my shoes. I put myself in so many chaotic circumstances. By the grace of God, I've been given so many second chances. But today I decided to let it all go. I'm driving these bags, I'm making room for my joy.
I don't want to motivate you. I don't want to just inspire you. I want to empower you. So we've been talking about what do beasts do? I don't want to just look like a beast. I don't want to talk like a beast. I don't want to have beast paraphernalia. I want to be a beast. I want to be in beast mode. I want to do what beasts do. And so I told him yesterday, was the weirdest thing. I was reading a story about the lion and gazelle, just like you. I was reading a study. I was reading and I was studying. I would read it over again. I would study. I was examining. I would pull back and I would digest the story. I'm going over the story over and over and over and over. And I'm looking for that thing. I'm looking what makes a lion a lion. I'm looking because if I can find out what makes a lion, I can help you turn that switch on. Because we all have it. That switch is in all of us. It's in a high school dropout. That switch is in someone who was homeless and ate out of trash. That switch exists in all of us. And I knew if I could turn the switch on, and if I could teach you how to turn that switch on. And so I'm reading the story, and I'm asking myself, okay, Eric, what are the similarities? And the similarities are every single day in Africa. Woo, I love it. Every single day in Africa, I love it. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference if you're a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, I love it. If you're a gazelle, you wake up with this notion that I must outrun. I must outrun the lion if I'm going to survive. Listen to me. I don't know what your business is. I don't know what you're trying to do personally, but there's something you're going to have to outrun. Every single day when you wake up, something you're going to have to run. For some of you, it's alcohol. For some of you, it's other substances. For some of you, it's depression. For some of you, it's your past. For some of you, it's procrastination. For some of you, your inability to stick with something, to start and finish. For some of you, you can't execute. I don't know what it is, but every single day, like that gazelle, you're going to wake up and boom, you're going to have to run from something. There's something you're going to have to get away from to survive. And that's all the gazelle is doing. He's running from the lion because he's trying to survive. But what's weird is that even though the lion is considered to be one of the most ferocious animals, one of the most dangerous animals, one of the kings of the kingdom, that when the sun comes up in Africa, that the lion has to do something too. Even though he's great, the gazelle's not going to come and just let him eat him up. He's going to have to chase that gazelle down. He's going to have to kill that gazelle. And so when I read it, that's the similarity. That if it doesn't make a difference if you're a gazelle, it doesn't make a difference if you're a lion. If you're at the top of the game, you still got to work. If you're at the top of your game, you still have to grow. If you're at the top of your game, what I know about you, if you're at the top of your game, there's still room for improvement. You can still get bigger. You can still get better. You can still be bolder. If you are still alive, there's still room for growth. There's still room to grow and be better. And so it says, it doesn't make a difference in the safari. In Africa, it does not make a difference when the sun comes up. Boom! You better get to running. And so I studied. I said, what's the difference? What's the difference? And I noticed that the gazelle is running. And I asked myself, what's the difference? And I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. The gazelle is running. The gazelle is afraid. The gazelle understands that if it does not stop running, or if it stops running, it's going to die. But I watched it long enough, and I saw the gazelle stop, and I said, ooh, I get it. It's not being chased. It's not being pushed. It's not being prodded. Some of us in this room, if we don't have a reward, you're not self-motivated. You're not self-regulated. You don't have that thing inside of you that pushes you. That alarm clock still has to get you up. Why? Because your passion is not waking you up. Your passion's not getting you up. And so I saw it. I said, ooh, the lion does not need to be pushed. The lion does not need anything external. That thing that it needs is inside. And so every single day, the lion wakes up and he runs and chases the gazelle. Why? Because he realizes that if he is to survive, if his kids are to survive, he must eat. And so you got to do me a huge favor. You got to do me a huge favor. You got to get to the point where you don't need a car anymore. You don't need a house anymore. You don't need to be pushed by anybody anymore. Your dreams, your wives are going to push you. Your spouse is going to push you. Your child is going to push you. The need to get better is going to push you. Because you're closer than you're ever going to be, it's going to push you. You don't need anything to push you. Your goals are going to push you. Your dreams are going to push you. The opportunity of a lifetime that happens in this particular time frame is going to push you. Going to drive you. It's going to make you better. So do me a favor as I leave, you can't be average anymore. 70%. You can't do it.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, yes, yes. Can you hear us, sis?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay,
am I
okay.
on?
Yes, you are on. Ladies and gentlemen, my honor and privilege at this time to introduce and present the Others Transforming Healer Mondays on here on 9/9/2019. Shaniqua Lino in the building.
Peace, God. You are so bright. You are such a bright light. Yes, the other day, I needed a little hug, and you came through in energy. You sound a little tired right now yourself. Can I be of energetic assistance to you?
I'm good. I'm good. What's happening?
All right.
Let's go. It's transformation.
All right,
because
no, that's how I go.
I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm ready.
I just appreciate you, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. So, all right, let's get it going. I know we got a little less time with you guys, so I'm going to just get straight into it. I'm talking about today some really great homeopathic alternatives and what you would call remedies. And I'm going to start, though, with speaking on I want to talk about the brain and stress. I find it that a lot of people here recently through certain transitions and that people have been experiencing, especially around myself, I deal with a lot of, energy, period, with people, whether I'm soothing, whether I'm ciphering, whether I'm deciphering, or, I'm just dealing in someone else's spiritual, emotional, mental space, it can be sometimes overwhelming. And I find it that a lot of people are just like kind of feeling a little overwhelmed or stressed right now. But today is 9/9/19. A lot of dope stuff is coming, into fruition. And it's also some things, that's not needed and no longer necessary coming to an end. That nine is, born. So, with being born, you have the polarity of that, the death, ending. And it's funny because I was just going to continue on some herbal information, and someone said to speak on the stress. So are you cool with that, with the brain? Because I'm going to get into it real quick and share.
This is your platform. This is your show. Whatever's on your heart and whatever spirit has led you to speak, God, it's all you. I'm here.
Aw, thank you. Okay, so, all right, here we go. What part of the brain is associated with stress? There's three main parts of the brain. You have the main, when I say parts, I mean talking about three main parts. And then I'm going to get into the actual anatomy of the brain. So the three main parts of the brain is the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, and the adrenal gland. The hypothalamus is at the base of the brain, and it deals with the temperature, regulating temperature, body temperature, your food intake. When people tend to overeat, or not want to eat too much, lose their appetite. It deals with thirst, water intake, sleep. Those dealing with sleep deprivation, or, not being able to sleep, having sleep apnea issues, waking patterns. It deals with emotional behavior, all right, and it deals with memory. That's a whole lot and some very serious subjects that the matter that the hypothalamus deals with, that if it's affected in a negative way, why we may be seeing the things that we're seeing. The pituitary gland and the adrenal gland together are called the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal. And they are responsible for secreting hormones. Now, when like just getting a little, just going a little further, right? If a situation is, let's just give an example. A situation is judged as stressful. The first part of your brain activated is the hypothalamus, which is in charge of the stress response. Again, at the base of the brain, it's responsible for the stress response. Okay, when a stress response is triggered, it sends signals to the pituitary gland in your brain and the adrenal glands, of which are above your kidneys. Now, why is that so important? Right? For one, I'm sure the word hormone ain't something that's unknown to brothers. You know, they'd be like, these sisters' hormones is out of whack. And then, you know, and now, and it's not, and this is not so funny, you know, I'm finding it in a lot of children. In a lot of children, their hormonal balances are very off, very, very off, and they are very, very sickly, you know, and they are extremely stressed. They do things that you can see in observation and behavior that reflect, you know, extreme amount of stress. Their behavior, they're aggressive, they are more loud, they are less responsive, and, you know, just as aggressive as you may be to reflect their being in hormonal imbalance, you can be just as, show a lack of aggression to the point where, like, there's no assertion at all, you know, and that can be another sign of a stress response when you don't respond fast enough or at all right? So that, you know, it can go both ways. Everybody responds to stress differently. And I think it's important for us to really, really take that into consideration, especially when we're dealing with people, because sometimes I think we're a little bit inconsiderate and very unknowledgeable, you know, of how we say and throw things at people. You know, I've heard people do this very often, you know, say, come on, just go do it. Just go get it done. Or, you know, if you're stressed, you gotta get over that. You know, or, you know, have you heard, have you been addressed like that before, or heard people be addressed like that when they mention they stressed out?
Yeah.
Yeah. You said, yeah. Okay.
That's
and
bugging her. Yo, man, a man stressed. A man stressed that I'm going through it.
And right, and people be like, yeah, me too. You know, who ain't? And sometimes that very response that you could have gave was enough to send somebody just like over the edge, you know, or telling them to let's go, get with it, you know, or not understanding the point that they're at. Recognizing stress by listening to your body is important. So I just wanted to just point this out for whoever may need it, or this could be helpful even with dealing with some of the people in your home. I think a lot of people sometimes we don't even realize that we're looking at somebody that's overwhelmed or stressed or maybe depressed. And it's the very approach and tack that we may use that could be, you know, helpful or harmful. So recognizing, just for, let's start with ourselves, right? Recognizing the stress in your own body. How do you listen and recognize to the stress in your body if you're having any, if you're under any? You can observe the muscles, just your muscles alone and your insides, right? If you tense up when you go to get up in the morning and you have Charlie horses, you know, you have pain in your neck, you can't turn your neck. Some of you just sleep wrong. Okay, you know, all right, fine. You might not have the best laying sleeping places, but those are things to pay attention to. You don't just get up with those type of kinks that take over a half an hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes to get up out your neck, you know, or pain in your legs that's so bad you can't move. You know, that is those are stressor signs. Those are signs that the body is under stress, whether it be by health, you know, whether it be by a mental, you know, situation, emotional situation. And believe me, stress can cause physical pain. I've been in physical stress because of emotional trauma and just mental trauma. where I was just thinking and taking on the stress of other people, just thinking about it, gave me pain, like literally gave me physical pain. So observing your muscles, seeing if maybe even when you get around certain people, how do you feel? Do you tense up? Does your back start hurting? Does your lower back, your shoulders, you know, those are places where we carry emotional pain. And some people that don't even know what I'm talking about right now, but start paying attention to your body. What happens when you may hear certain voices, you know, of certain people? Maybe this person that you hear, they often get on your nerves. And as soon as you hear them, you literally, your head may start hurting. This person literally creates a stress response and factor for you. You know, pay attention to that. And then how to deal with that, all right? There's I'm going to get into that. But just being observant of what's happening to your body, interacting or being around certain elements, you know, is important. Sometimes if you let that stuff go too much, too far, you can wind up really in some really bad places where even your health is compromised, you know, and you could wind up having a heart attack. I know people that have done it. They just continue to ignore the signs and until it gets to a point where it's out of their hand and the body can't take anymore. You know, it tried to signal you several different times, several different ways, but you wasn't listening. You wasn't observing enough. Observe the breath that you're taking, all right? Sometimes people, when they are very stressed, they may take and take exasperated breaths, you know, or not breathe quick enough. Anything that's too much or too little is imbalanced. So you may get people that when they're talking, you could tell, like, they're stressed or they're overly excited. Or being overly excited is another form, another mean of stress as well. You know, you just, it's not controlled. So you get people that's talking, sometimes that talk so fast, and you be like, calm down, take a breath, right? And then you have those that's like, wow, would you just say that word, like, and get it out already? It took maybe 10 minutes to say three words. That's a form of stress, okay? You're so overwhelmed, you can't get the words out fast enough or at all, and then you may be so overwhelmed where you are speaking so fast that no one else can hear your words, if that makes sense. Am I resonating, or is this making sense, brother?
You on point, sis. You on point.
Okay. Okay, so another stress factor to listen to your body is identifying your stress response. All right, how do you respond to stress in your environment or in your immediate, you know, line of observation or, you know, in your cycle? Pardon. They probably can't hear me. I'm sorry about the noise, y'all. Are you overly excited or are you underexcited? You know, those also as well are stress responses, okay? Once again, like I said, and using your senses to reduce stress is important. How do we use our senses to reduce stress? By sight. You know, you could look at colorful photos. Sometimes color therapy is great. Some people use color therapy to take them and to calm them down or to bring them into places where they feel more either vulnerable or they feel more fragile or they feel more easy, they feel more, you know, more open. And whatever it is that makes them feel delicate or whatever they want to feel, the colors can do that. I've actually seen color therapy sessions, and they do work, and they're very interesting. All right. Even with myself, I actually, in my group, Ancient Heart Readings, I have an album that is the color of the I believe I did it all, the third eye chakra center, energy center, and all the images are purple. So I did that on purpose to make an energy center album. So when people want to go and, you know, tune out to that with an image form, they can use that album. I was going to make one for each energy center, but I know that that's one that I have up right now. If it's not purple, it's probably green for the heart chakra. I know those are two that I chose to do first because they are the most important to me. And smell, so, you know, sight is could be with the colors. I just use color for an example. You know, you don't have to use the colors, but reducing your stress by your senses, color is one way, all right, and sight. Looking at things that can help you be less stressful, that are appeasing to you. Smelling things that can help you feel less stressed, that are appeasing to you, like maybe candles. Maybe you like to light a candle that smells really good. Maybe you want to make the candles on your own and you put all the blends together, and it's very therapeutic. So when you burn it, you know, you get the sensation of when you were even making it, the happiness, the joy, and the contentment that you felt. So when you're burning it, you know, it adds on. That's a very peaceful thing. Enjoying fresh-smelling flowers or maybe food that you like to make that smells good because it resonates with you that, you know, you made it and it's healthy and it's something that is going to contribute to building a better you. And the smell sticks, you know, and that smell in particular, you like to smell. So when you feel a certain type of way to de-stress, you create that smell, you know. Touch, soaking in, you know, a hot bath, you know, that's a sense of touch you can use to de-elevate, you know, your or reduce your stress. Touch, you know, soaking in a hot bath or hugging, you know, hugging is like, to me, is one of the most intimate and nurturing things you could do. Maybe kissing with your partner, you know, kiss each other on the forehead, on the cheek. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, the next level intimate thing. I'm talking about the more nurturing, you know, intimate means of comfort in touch. You know, maybe holding a hand and rubbing it, or rubbing your own, massaging yourself in at the palm, in the palms of your hands with your thumb, the base of your thumb, massaging into the middle round in a circular motion, or actually doing that to the end point of your fingers or your toes, which is a form of a reflex, it's a type of reflexology. It is reflexology where you are rubbing on the pressure points to relieve stress, you know, and they have at those points and ends of your toes and fingers where you can actually, if you rub right with the right type of pressure on them, you can alleviate migraines, you can get rid of pain, you can remove toxins from the body. And this is to, again, reduce stress through your senses. So we are on the sense touch, all right? And I'm using different examples of how you can de-escalate from a stressful space that you may be in, okay? So, yeah, you guys might want to learn some reflexology and pressure points so you can rub it out, you know, or rub it away, which is not hard to do. It's very, very helpful, and it does work. The next sense is taste. You know, sometimes to taste something could take away certain stress, right? Chewing gum, which, by the way, they have natural gum made out of cinnamon. Oh, my goodness, I had it. Did I have a neem gum? I can't remember. But it was really good. It tastes really good. Fennel, I think, is cinnamon gum, and you can chew gum or eat chocolate. I recommend original chocolate, not the, you know, this processed chocolate, which is cacao, not cocoa. Okay, cacao, or, you know, get a fruit or banana. Get a fruit, you know, or vegetable, something that you like to taste that brings you to a good place and de-escalates, you know, the stress. Those are ways that you can use your senses to take away your stress. And another way that to relieve stress, which I think is important for some of you that are just experiencing some really overwhelming times, you know, learn to breathe. Breathing techniques are just the bomb, all right? Fire breathing is a way of getting rid of unwanted and unnecessary energy and controlling chi in your body in a way that's so powerful. I think if we learn, first of all, Oh my goodness. It improves physical health. It improves mental health, and it can control emotional, you know, imbalance. It's very powerful. Can you hear me? I'm sorry because my phone was ringing. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good. Sir.
Okay. So fire breathing is also a so-called ancient form, a technique of breathing that is known to be very resourceful for removing toxins, getting rid of headaches as well. You can even get some abs off of fire breathing, all right? But it's a certain way that you breathe and so that you can build up the wind and the muscle in the lungs and in your abdomen that actually help and can restore even certain functions in the body. So y'all might want to check out fire breathing. You know, look at some YouTube videos if you get a chance and look at fire breathing. But you can also use these other ways to relieve stress, all right? Exercising, yoga, stretching, running, walking, meditating, music. That's one of my favorites, like my music. Music and, you know, being physically, you know, stimulated where I could be repotting plants or maybe I'll doing some type of exercise or even just like, you know, being in play with my family, you know, type of thing or maybe even with a loved one. You know, I like to, stress-free to me sometimes involves a lot more physical engagement than the quiet sound because I'm a hands-on. So a good time for me is creates less stress in my world. For some people, silence is what do it for them. Whatever does it for you, you know, hang on to that and don't let nobody interrupt you. I just want to also share here, right, the brain and the brain functions. So when we're talking about something, which our people do sometimes, you know, we get information and we don't have the full, you know, scope or understanding. And I don't think you'll ever have the full scope of understanding of anything because knowledge is infinite, right? So it's always something to add on or add to, which is beautiful. But I just like to bring as much to help understand better what I'm saying, how you can connect it. So the brain and the brain functions. The brain lies within the cranial cavity of the skull, and it's made up of billions of nerve cells, which are what they call neurons. And those are actually like the transmitters, what connects messages and supporting cells, which are called glia. The brain has gray matter, neurons, and glia, and white matter, myelin. They call it myelin. The human brain can be divided into four main parts. I said three in the beginning, but this is anatomy. I'm giving y'all the anatomy of the brain, right? Four main parts, the cerebrum, the diencephalon, brainstem, and cerebellum. The largest part is the cerebrum. It is formed by the cerebral hemispheres, which are joined together by a massive bundle of white matter, the corpus callosum, callosum, callosum. And it is covered by the gray matter of the cerebral cortex. Now, I know this is some big stuff for y'all, but even myself, you know, I'll spell these words out and y'all can go over and look at them. And what I'll do is, you know, make a vocabulary list. This is how we should do when we build, you know, so that you learn more and not just somebody talking at you, but talking with you. You know, I like to always be made knowledgeable and I like to make people, you know, knowledgeable. So knowledge doesn't intimidate me, and I don't want it to be intimidating to whoever I'm saying it to. So I want to make sure that you know. I'm not just, like, talking it at you, all right? The diencephalon, D-I-E-N-C-E-P-H-A-L-O-N, lies beneath the cerebral hemispheres and has two main structures, the thalamus and the hypothalamus, which is what I was talking about earlier. I'll take a picture of this brain set off and section, you know, description, and I'll post it to the radio post that I have or in my group Conscious Movement or Ancient Heart Readings. Please do join, and you can check it out there as well. The transverse section of the brain shows the gray matter of the cerebral cortex and the white matter that lies beneath the cortex, forming the outer layer of the hemispheres of the brain. The cerebral cortex is a highly folded sheet of gray matter, with gyri folded outward and fissures, F-I-S-S-U-R-E-S, and sulci folding inward. The meninges, that word is beyond me. The meninges, M-E-N-I-N-G-E-S, are three concentric protective membranes surrounding the brain and spinal cord. The outermost, which is important, I just want to throw this in, the brain being connected to the spinal cord. When the sisters get that epidural, how is that affecting the children before they actually are, brought into this world? Being that so much of that activity is so open in that space to that baby, all right? The outermost, the gyri matter, is a tough fibrous layer. In the middle membrane, the arachnoid matter is a fragile network of collagen, and elastin fibers. The innermost, the pia matter, is a delicate layer of collagen and elastic fibers containing many blood vessels. So that's the brain and brain functions anatomy, okay, that I wanted to just hit y'all with. And for whoever is interested for a little more, I have no problem with sharing that with you. That is actually from a children's book that they give in advanced teaching, not in our schools, but I'm going to share it with you because I bought it for my children and Barron's make it, B-A-R-R-O-N-S, Barron's. And it's called The Anatomy. It's a student self-test coloring book. This is the actual coloring book, okay, for children. This right here belongs in, or you can't find some of this information in some of these secondary school teaching nursing classes, all right? This right here was just like medical school explanation of the brain's anatomy. And it's literally a anatomy student self-test coloring book, all right, made by Barron. So I'll share that with you guys. There's over 350 illustrations that are in here. The pages are, so well put together, and pictures and actual anatomy photos that show the descriptions and layouts of the different parts of the body, and it's very comprehensive. So you may want to get that for your children. It's not really expensive. I think I paid, let me see what I paid for this, $24.99. But it's very well worth it. And I'm gonna share this with you, and then I'm gonna share a few remedies with you guys, and that's gonna be my time. here we go. Wait. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. I tried to put myself together. I had a lot to do today, and I try to make sure I'm on time. I'm sorry about that, y'all. the emotional centers, emotional energy centers of the body, right? The shoulders are known to be, or I have a nice little layout here that say that have expressed the shoulders, reflect the shoulders in the burdens and responsibility spaces, where we carry the burden and responsibilities in those places. It's like, if you're worried about something, family, a career, things of that nature, usually carry that stress or that pain up in your shoulder area, okay? So if you notice people sometimes tend when they start thinking about work, or responsibility, they move a lot in their shoulder area, or they hunch over in their shoulders from their shoulder area. The throat center is deals with self expression issues, lack of trust, inability to speak feelings, lack of nurturing. That's the throat and center, which is your throat chakra. And most people, when it's blocked, they either don't listen very well or they don't feel like they're being listened to and don't express themselves well. And those may be people that don't talk much, very silent and quiet. Their throat chakra is blocked. The heart center, it deals with grief, sorrow, sadness, loss, emptiness of heart, lack of love, helplessness, aloneness, disillusionment, embarrassment, shame, humiliation, repression, disappointment, genetic or ancient memory, cruelty, meanness, when it's not open, okay, the heart chakra. And there are I've seen and I've shared as well poses that you can, stances you can go into on the yoga end that can actually help open your heart chakra. And there are two people that I know, but one in particular, the story was very interesting. She said that she was doing one of the heart chakra opening poses, and she said that she went into a pose and she heard something like snap, and she started to cry. And it wasn't like physical pain that she felt in her body. She said, but she felt it open and it released a pain that she was holding. And she said that when she felt it, and this is crazy because listen to what I just said. She said she didn't feel physical bodily pain. She felt the emotional release. And she heard like a popping sound from it, but it didn't cause pain. What was released that made her cry was the emotional release of the tension she was holding. So that's really big right there. You know, the physical extensions that we could put our bodies in to actually release emotional stress. So how important is it for us to exercise? Or, you know, I call that another form of meditation, which I like to call physical meditation, when you physically put your body in a meditative state to release the stress or the toxin or the pain that it's experiencing. To me, that's a physical meditation, you know, literally like the body is meditating and releasing what it doesn't need, as if you were meditating mentally, you know, and letting go of what you didn't clear in your energy spaces, you know, in that way. That's, to me, that's really dope. The fear center, fears and phobias, loss of control, fearing of losing control, giving our power to another person and relationships is, you know, in the solar plex. Having old stuff and center, you know, stuff that just stays lingering around, family issues, sexual issues, childhood issues. Violating of the body, personal space, something, if something's done to you and you never, you know, dealt with it, you're still holding on to it, impotency, fidgetiness, that is in the, more in the groin, in the solar plex. Wait, one is this, hold on, let me make sure I'm giving y'all the right chance. I know what I'm referring to, but I just want to make sure I got the right space. Yes, sir. This is in a, one is just above the navel, and the other one is a little below the heart chakra, the solar plex. All right, the anger center, anger, the anger that is that we hold sometimes is said to be on the not the left but the right, where you hold maybe self-anger, jealousy, resentment, and rage, you know, coming in through the right and going out through the left, literally of the body. That's sometimes how that energy comes in and leaves. You know, guilt and shame on the other end, feeling unworthy, unacceptance, self-judgment, self-criticism, if you don't, not feeling you didn't, you don't, you're not deserving of the good in life that it has to offer you. And that's such a, you know, bad, horrible place to be. The inability to accept, you know, what you should receive, that's good. You know, some of us get so many good things and we just don't feel we even deserve it. Like, you know, I wouldn't know what to do with that if somebody gave it to me. If you're dealing with issues like that, you know, it's on your side, like on in the hip region and area, and you don't, you know, no one should feel like that. That's just a horrible place to be. You know, also a little lower under that area, so you deal with emotions of which is considered the supportive area, a lack of, you know, it could be you know, prosperable support, you know, anything with having, gaining, you would have a lack of in that area or hold it emotionally in that area, and just below there, the rejection center, you know, in the abdomen. criticism, judgment by others, self rejection, abandonment, pain in the heart, and betrayal by someone that we trust. You hold it there in the abdomen. That's why so many men and women, you know, they get sick to the point where the women, they have a lot of womb issues, fibroids, tumors, and men, they get the prostate, you know, issues, and testy situations. These are not, it's not by accident, you know, your emotional level, the depth of your emotional pain can cause you some serious, you know, physical ailment. And when you realize that your emotional pain could be causing you physical unwellness, you know, you have to make a choice to say, I don't want to be sick. I want to be well, and I want to be happy, and it's my choice. You know, this is something that I do have a choice over. Anybody that is doing something to you or making you feel a certain type of way, at some point, you got to take the accountability and say, what part do I have in allowing this to happen or saying that this person, you know, cannot do this anymore because I won't let them. If it's happening, it's at your will. You know, for the most, we have the choice, you know, whether you have to stop them by force or get intervention to stop them, but it's your choice. Don't never let anybody put you in a space where you feel like you don't have a choice. You know, there's always a choice. Sometimes some choices are more drastic than others, and some are just very simple as not even answering back. You know, somebody can come and ruin your whole day just because of a response you gave them. It didn't have to be negative. You just responded to them, and they took and put you in an emotional place that was so bad, you could have avoided all of that if you just didn't answer, and that's your power. Sometimes just not to answer. That's it, and the stress will not be there. Just don't answer. You know, we kind of make things harder at times than they are, and my big thing motivational Prosperity Mondays is here, I like to call it. I say let's be more resourceful and resourceful over selfish and selfless, because the word selfless, I think, is a power lacking word. You know, you say self and then less. There's nothing less about the self. Self is all be it. You know, I am that I am. So you have to watch what you say when you're building or when you want to build or when you are looking to create great situations of great power and great energy, you know, and great vibes. So I say use sourceful and resourceful. What does it mean to be sourceful? Sourceful is offering useful, being able to offering of useful things, right? So if I'm sourceful, how can I offer anything useful? My words could be useful that I choose. My actions can be useful that I choose. My thoughts could be useful that I choose, just thinking, because those are vibrations as well. And you do share them energetically, you know, from one mind to the next. That is a travel of energy. That is a share and exchange of energy when you're in a cipher of people. So you can be sourceful in that way. How could you be resourceful? What is resourceful? Resourceful is having the ability to find quick and clever ways to overcome difficulties. If you or anyone around you take the time to think of yourself as resourceful, we will have a much better build in our communities than we do, you know, today. And it's getting better. I'm going to put that out there. It's getting better. I've seen it get just, like, really great in some of the circles that I'm in, and I love it, you know. And let's continue that. Let's continue to be helpful to one another. Let's continue to be motivating to one another. Let's continue to be inspirational, and let's continue to raise the vibrations. So that's what I'm trying to do right now, you know, even just paying attention to the way we use the words. You know, I am sourceful and resourceful. I am source and resource, okay? And when you learn to speak like that, you change the mindsets that you have. If those mindsets are not as strong as your words, they will become stronger because of the way you are choosing to speak. But it actually will not happen unless it's a thought first. So in your mind, you got to have that thought first. So I have to retract and take that back. You have to have that type of mindset there that you're planting, that you're planting as a seed. So then you can grow, you know, as in character with what it is that you think and you want to be more powerful with. And then your words will follow and your actions will even follow pursuit, which is a beautiful thing. All right, so I was giving that to y'all. Here we go with these remedies, and then that's going to be my time, y'all, all right? Womb bath. Sisters, this is a solution for womb baths. Use infusion of comfrey, which is also known as Symphytum officinalis, okay? S-Y-M-P-H-Y-T-U-M officinalis, O-F-F-I-C-I-N-A-L-I-S. And you can use it with horsetail, okay? Equisetum arvens, E-Q-U-I-S-E-T-U-M A-R-V-E-N-S-E. It helps soothe inflamed tissues and makes less susceptible to irritation. You're going to use a cup of comfrey root and a pint of water for 20 minutes. Remove from heat. Add 1 tablespoon of horsetail. Steep for an additional 10 minutes and strain and pour it into the tub. You're going to soak for 20 to 30 minutes 3 times a week. Raise the water level to your pelvic bone. And this is what they consider a womb bath for yeast. All right, you could try that out. There's several different types. Some are very ineffective. Some have been more effective. I would throw some mugwort in there as well, okay? But that is one for yeast, a womb bath for yeast. Okay, here's some herbs for the womb, for the sisters. Uva ursi. All right, also known as Arcto, Staphylos, is A-R-C-T-O-S-T-A-P-H-Y-L-O-S. The parts used is the leaves. The medicinal properties in it is diuretic. It's a diuretic. It's used as an astringent and a tonic. All right, you could use it for the uses of it is it could be used for oral, kidney, and bladder issues, and it's good when mucus from the bladder is releasing pus and blood. Okay, it's excellent for dysentery, piles, hemorrhoids, excessive menstruation, spleen, the liver, and pancreas problems, and you could use it as a douche. All right, a teaspoon and a pint of boiling water. Of course, let it cool, 30 minutes, and drink a half cup every 4 hours. Uva ursi, U-V-A-U-R-S-I. That's herbs for the womb, sisters, okay? Combine it with bucha, and it makes an excellent treatment for kidney and bladder, all right? For those that may have recurring, what do they call that, bladder UTIs, you may want to use that. I would throw some nettle in there, too, because nettle is bomb for that. All right? The treatment for bladder inflammation, all right, cystitis, take a high enema of catnip tea. Catnip is official, y'all. 1 teaspoon to a quart of water and take as hot as can be, 105 to 110 Fahrenheit. That's kind of hot. Take it as hot as you can take it, okay? I don't like hot stuff. I don't even like hot showers. All right, but yeah, take it as hot as you can take it. Take the laxative herb, equal parts of senna and buckthorn bark, spearmint, cured berries, and marshmallow root are an excellent combination if you mix it together for the treatment of bladder inflammation. All right, and drink 1 to 4 cups per day. It'll keep the bowels loose, so you may not want to do that on a day of work. All right, an injection of the herb tea can be professionally inserted into the bladder. The slippery elm as well can be added. Slippery elm is excellent too, okay? For womb issues, if you have hemorrhoids, you can use our varicose veins in the anus or, you know, the rectum. Is caused by pressure. Usually it's caused by pressure. Sometimes you guys or you sisters having pregnancies where you strained a lot, and you use muscles in that area to deliver the child from your anus to your, you know, to your vaginal, you can get hemorrhoids. You know, sometimes they could be chronic, they could be reoccurring. You may not even know that they're there, you know, because they're inside. Some are outside, and some are very serious to the point where some people have to have surgery. All right, chronic, you can have chronic constipation due to hemorrhoids, obesity, and really an obstruction in the lower intestine or the rectal tumor. You can have rectal tumor. All right, I knew a lady that actually had a tumor from a I don't even want to say it came from the hemorrhoid. That's I'm not knowledgeable about that. I don't think that's what occurred, but I know it was due to her hemorrhoid. She wound up bursting a vein, artery, that she said it occurred because she put too much strain, and she was in her last stages of pregnancy, and she was going to the laundry, and she went to go pick up the bag and put it over her shoulder, and she hemorrhaged internally, and had to have immediate surgery and, you know, delivery. And that's just really sad to me. Like, we just don't take care of ourselves enough and really just don't know. And for the brothers, you know, saw palmetto is a excellent herb to use, or tincture, or as a tea for brothers that are dealing with prostate issues or testicle issues. You know, saw palmetto is like one of the number one herbs. Maca helps, you know, to stand for erection. And it's not, again, it's not, I always say this, it's not about the sexual thing. It's about, you know, if you have good flow, that means that your pressure in your body, you know, your blood pressure is good. If you cannot get, if you can't stand up, that's a direct indication of your blood pressure, you know, having a situation being affected. So it's poor health, and you can have a heart attack. So, you know, some of the sisters kind of be selfish with it and inconsiderate, and well, not kind of, that is selfish. You know, not knowing any better, just ignorant. Just like some brothers, they, you know, they make jokes about dry vaginal, but a dry vaginal is an indication that this sister is seriously hormonally imbalanced and her health is not well, you know. And at that point, she shouldn't even be being intimate. But some, when we don't know any better, you know, we actually ruin each other, we harm each other, and it's nothing we could do for one another but cause more damage. So it's important that we know how to take care of ourselves, and then we can, you know, if whatever you do with yourself, you're going to look, or for the most, be able to do with somebody else. But first, it got to start with you. If you don't care about yourself that much, how are you going to care about somebody else that, you know, that much after? It's just, that doesn't even make sense. So, yeah, the brothers, you can take care of yourselves with the salt palmetto. The maca is excellent. Ashwagandha can also be used, aphrodisiac, like the maca. And I know people that took the maca, and they said it worked, and the ashwagandha as well. And it was like it worked immediately. And for situations and issues that were pretty serious, all right, regarding male hormonal health and woman hormonal health. Those are two very powerful herbs to use. So is Uva Ursi. So is Black Cohosh. But those are leaning on the side more of the feminine, you know, feminine divine. The maca and the ashwagandha are can be used for both male and female. So I hope that you guys were happy with that. I definitely am going to bring some more information next week. Y'all let me know also what you want me to cover, what you want me to, you know, speak on and get on, and we could go there. I love to have my people heal. I want to give more accounts where you can actually go and look up and see live footage of things being done so you can learn how to do them, you know, perform them, and how you can, you know, use this stuff to your avail and to help, you know, in your everyday life. You can make your own vitamins. You can make your own tincture. You can make your own extract. Yes, I said make your own vitamins, okay? I had a video. I need to find it so I can put it back up. But you make it right in the oven, and you can make your own tinctures, extracts. You can make all kinds of things that they have in these stores. It was a way that we made that stuff in our homes before it got to a shelf. So don't feel limited to a store shelf. You need to know how to do everything that you can possibly do and you would possibly buy. If you could buy it in the store, you could make it in your house. And I'm going to leave y'all with that, okay? Motivational Prosperity Mondays. May all of you be at what good health and wealth, because your health is your wealth. Your wealth, excuse me, is your health. If you're not here to take, on and carry out the functions you carry out because you're in poor health, then guess what? There goes your life down the drain. So, peace, love, health, wealth, prosperity, and protection and abundance. I love you all. And, brother, thank you for the platform again and again. We did it again. Where you at, brother?
I'm right here. I have to let the dust settle. Like, you know what I'm saying? I have to let the dust settle. You know, you dropped all of them bombs and all of the jewels, so I just had to let it marinate for a moment. I can't just jump in like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I got to let it breathe a little bit.
Ah, you be showing love. Look. Oh, my goodness. I appreciate you. Well, it's been beautiful and grand, as usual, as always. And I'll definitely check in with you guys on the on the next go round. Let them know.
Yeah, the next show will be in 2 weeks, so the 23rd. So y'all got plenty of time to hit our sister up. Where she stated that they could find you, ask questions, comments, all of that. You see what I'm saying? So the 23rd will be here. That'll be the fourth Monday, 4 p.m. time. Thank you again for your time, your energy, your candor, your motivation, and your healing information.
Oh, thank you. Oh, and I forgot. You could contact me directly on my phone, 347-310-3215. Shanique Wellino is the name. Two of my groups on Facebook are Conscious Movement with the Tree of Life. Please don't bring no profanity or negativity or racism and hatred in there. And the other group is Ancient Heart Readings with the Blue Azurite Stone. Bring your love and your spiritual journeys with peace and kindness and affection and your nurturing. And till next time, you contact me anytime. And that's my full name on Facebook, Shanique Wellino, Shanique Wellua, Lino, last name. I appreciate y'all most. Any questions, y'all, hit me with it.
All right, there you have it. There you have it right there. Another one in the books. Amazing.
It's all love. Mwah.
I enjoy your day, sis. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Mom. Peace and love.
Peace. All right, fam, we're out of here. Like what you heard, subscribe to the show. www.blogtalkradio.com/DoKnowledgeRadio. That's DoTahKnowledgeRadio. Follow the show on Instagram, at Knowledge1357 on Instagram and on Twitter, at Knowledge115 on Twitter. And we are out of this mode. Out of this boat.
Where you're losing patience, take your time and look her in the eye. when you just can't find the words you want, and it's hard to reach a point where you both understand. Don't just tell the truth, but tell the whole truth. It'll make a better man out of you.
When you talk to her like it was somebody, talk to your mama.
Don't get fun.
Don't be smart, but have a heart to heart there, just like you would with your daughter.
With everything you do,
everything you do or say,
and everything you say,
every day.
She's somebody's baby.
She's somebody's sister.
She's somebody's mama. Skirt or a business suit, whether she's 25 or 99, treat her the way your mama taught you to. She could be the queen of Sheba, she could be a school teacher, a homemaker or a lawyer. I think it's good for your karma if when you talk to her. Nothing in the world ever exists without its opposite. There has to be a sun and a moon, a man and a woman, and that's just the way it is. Humanity subsided, and everybody's fighting. How do we restore the peace? Mother Earth is hurting, and everybody's searching for that feminine energy. You gotta talk to her. Like you fight for your sister.
If you knew that somebody dissed her,
how you gonna care for your daughter?
Turn around and talk bad about her mama.
Say where you listen to your auntie.
Never interrupt while she speaks.
Make your words sweet like candy.
As if you were talking to your granny. Yeah.
If you really love her, then
say so.
And if you really need, about